Amen. Praise the Lord. Revelation 5:12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Seven things. And today we've come to number seven. Worthy is the Lamb to receive blessing. A couple of months ago, I felt an inspiration out of this verse and have followed through these six areas. Worthy is the Lamb to receive power and riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory. And today we're going to look at blessing. Worthy is the Lamb to receive blessing. And I pray that the Spirit of God gives us understanding and activation in our hearts this morning that is of Him. Blessing has to do with the words of our mouth. Blessing has to do with utterance. It has to do with prophetic inspiration and declaration. Worthy is the Lamb to receive prophetic utterance. Worthy is the Lamb to receive faith declaration. Worthy is the Lamb to receive confessions of faith and of the promise of God from His people. Now let's look at a few scriptures at the onset. Numbers 6:23-26, and we want to show the blessing and the speaking, how they flow together. The Lord said, "Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, In this manner you shall bless. And the blessing was the speaking. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee shalom." Proverbs 11 and verse 11. By the blessing of the upright, Christ's city is exalted. By the blessing of the upright, the city of God is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth. Cities are overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Churches are overthrown by the mouth of wickedness. By the blessing of the upright. So the blessing has to do with words. It has to do with prophetic inspiration. It has to do with lifting up the glory of God. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Hallelujah. Genesis 1:22. God created the fowls of the heaven and the fish of the sea. And verse 22 says, God blessed them, saying, be fruitful. God blessed them, saying, there was a prophetic declaration that came from the mouth of the Lord. It was prophetic. It was creative. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth. And then verse 28, concerning Adam and Eve, God blessed them and God said unto them. God blessed them and God said. This has to do with the words of our mouth. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Blessing has to do with the words of our mouth. Worthy is the Lamb to receive blessing. Worthy is the Lamb to receive prophetic inspiration, prophetic declaration from His people. This last week, September 10th, was an anniversary in my life and Deborah, because it was the 40-year anniversary of our being on the full-time staff of this church. 25 years of age and came on the staff of the church. And 3 years before that, we'd served in another tenure in another place as youth pastors and assistant pastors. Came in 1978 to this church and what this church has become today. 40 years have gone by. 40 years in the Bible is a generation. Bible says that David served his generation in the will of God. David served for 40 years. His reign was 40 years. He served his generation in the will of God. And I trust that Deborah and myself have served our generation in the will of God. Now the Lord will judge that. The Lord will judge that. He will judge our motives. He will judge our ministry. He will judge our fervency. He will judge our faith. Every one of us will give account of ourselves to the Lord. And the Bible says not he that commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. So we must judge ourselves by the word of God continually and make sure our lives and our ministries flow in order under the standard of the word of God. Jesus said, when you've done your duty, when you've served, and you've come home at night after a day of labor for your master, before you sit down and eat, serve the master. Provide for him, and then you can eat and drink. And don't commend yourself. Just say, I'm an unprofitable servant. We do our duty for the Lord, and I concur with the words of Jesus. I agree with the words of Jesus concerning my life and my wife and our ministry, that we've done what we know to do for the Lord and have served him with a sincere heart as much as we're able to, and to guide our motives and our spirit and our doings right. But in the end, I say with Jesus, you should have got more profit out of me than you did. You should have gotten more profit out of me than you did. 40 years have gone by. And I pray in the life of this church that we step forward into a new day of God, that we step forward into the new work of the Lord with a greater fervency than we've ever had before, that God would begin to unfold greater things than we've ever known. A few weeks ago, Pastor Jen was speaking on a Sunday night, and she brought up Deuteronomy 8 and 3, scripture that says how the Lord led Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, and how he fed them and tested their heart and tried them to know what was in them and to cause them to know that they would live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth, they would live. That's where they would find their living. And as she read that, and the words are right in there, 40 years, these 40 years, and that scripture leapt in my heart. And I thought of my life and this ministry and 40 years, and I said, Lord, 40 years have gone by, and it's time for a new move of God. It's time to step forward. It's time for the people of God to increase. And I pray that we would have a spirit of faith and a spirit of moving forward like we've never had before in the history of this church and in our personal lives. That we would know there's much land to be possessed, and that we'd go for the inheritance of the Lord, not only for us, but for our children and our children's children, and that we would continue to establish the great work of God in the earth, that his name would be glorified. Hallelujah. 40 years have come and gone, and it's time for a new day in God. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 says, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call unto me, I will show you new and mighty things which you do not know. 40 years under Moses, but under Joshua, they stepped forward into a far greater inheritance. And that's the cry of my heart today. Call unto me, I will show you things you did not know. In Isaiah 46 and 10, it says, the Lord declaring the ancient things, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. There are many things that are not yet done. And we need a progressive spirit. The Apostle Paul says, I forget the things which are behind. I stretch forth unto the things which are before. I press. He didn't say I saunter. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I let zeal of the Lord take hold of my life. Remember not the former things, Isaiah said. Neither consider the things of old. I will do a new thing, says the Lord. The Lord is always wanting to do a new thing for the generation that is coming. He's always seeking to move his people forward in his purposes and in his plans for them. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will guide you. He will teach you. He will bring you into all truth, and he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. We know the plans that God has for us. They're not thoughts of evil, but they're thoughts of peace. They're thoughts of good, to give us a future, to give us a hope. God is always seeking to lead families on, individuals on, the church of Jesus Christ on in his ways and in his purpose. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul, when he was converted on the Damascus Road, and then as the prophet Ananias came to him 3 days later and brought healing and the baptism of the Spirit to his life, and prophetic word flowed over him. The Lord said, I will show you things yet to come. He says, Paul, I'm giving you a word. You're going to be a light. You're going to stand before kings. You're going to carry my word to the nations. But he said in Acts 26 and verse 16, if the things which I will yet appear to you, Paul, there's a word on your life, but there are things in which I will yet appear to you. And so we know we have to step forward. We have to move on with God. And I pray that we have a spirit of faith and a spirit of blessing to receive the inheritance of the Lord. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These people came under wonderful provision of God. They came under the blood. They came under the water. They came under the cloud. They came under the food, and they came under the drink, just like all of us have in Christ. But the Bible says with many of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. The Apostle Paul says, now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages, the last days have come. My, these are sobering words. 40 years have gone by, and there have been some idolaters and covetous men that have come and gone. Couldn't wait for God to prosper them. Couldn't wait for the financial flow of the blessing of God to be released. But by carnal effort, they said, we will be rich. We will gain wealth to ourselves. And as the Apostle Paul says, some have strayed from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There have been some fornicators and adulterers that have come and gone. There have been some murmurers and complainers that have come and gone and have been destroyed by the destroyer. There are some that have tested Christ. Apostle Paul says, don't test Christ. There are some that have tested Christ. They put Christ to the test. And when he didn't meet their expectations and fulfill what they wanted in their own desires, they counted him unworthy. They disapproved the Son of God and said, he doesn't pass the test for me. But yet the Bible says the stone which the builders rejected is still the headstone of the corner. Professors of faith, but not possessors of faith. Spurious saints, they drew near to the Lord with their lips, prayed a sinner's prayer, but their heart remained far from him. Walked their own way. Did not give the Son of God the honor. They drew near to him with their lips, but did never give him the surrender of a sanctified life in the power of God. 40 years have come and gone. And some have fallen and some have been scattered. But I pray today that in this house of God, that every person, every man, every woman, every young person, every child in this place would have a fresh spirit like Joshua and Caleb. Let's believe God. Let's believe God. Let's follow the Lord. Let's give the Lord everything. His word is true. He does not fail. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let God be true and every man a liar, including this man. If I speak against the word of God in my own heart, entertain something that is not of him, some thought, some lying imagination. Let's believe God. Let's go up against giants and obstacles and mountains and impossible situations. And let's believe God for an inheritance, for our children, for our children's children. Let's believe God to do something far greater than he's done in the past, in this church and in our lives and in our families. The Lord said to Joshua, "There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. And the Lord will lead us into the inheritance." You can't see what's ahead, and neither can I, unless the Lord gives us an eye of faith. But generally, we can't see what the Lord is leading us into. He asked for our obedience. He asked for our faith. He asked for our commitment to his promise and to his word, and that we hold to a faith declaration and a prophetic inspiration in our lives. The Lord said to Joshua in Joshua 3:13, he said, when the feet of the priests touch the waters of the Jordan will open, and then you'll go through and take the land. When the feet of the priests, the worship warriors, the prayer partners, when the worshipers, the ministering priests of the Lord, when our feet touch the waters of impasse and impossibility, we have to step into the water and the waters will part. We can't stand back and say, "I hope God does something." No, we move forward in faith. We move forward in worship. We move forward in praise. We move forward into the intercessions of the Lord upon our lives. The Lord said, when the waters open, the people must have been excited. There was the word of the Lord. When you reach that Jordan, the feet of the priests are going to step in, the waters are going to open, and you're going to take the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. But how shocked the people must have been, because when they came out of the wilderness and approached the Jordan, they found out it was flood time. It was flood time. You couldn't tell where the Jordan River started and where it ended. You couldn't see the channel that was cut for the river in the banks. It was flood time, but God says flood time is harvest time, for the Jordan overflows all its banks at harvest time. And I want to say this morning that when it's an inopportune time, when it looks impossible, when you wonder about the future, that with man things look impossible, but with God all things are possible. And God knows the impossibility, but he sets it up for us so that we don't stagger back in our own selves at unbelief. We can, but he sets it up so that the miracle is even greater because of the impossibility of the situation before us. Man's impossibility is God's opportunity and God's possibility. And Mike, can you imagine when they came to the waters and they said, "It's flood time. We can't cross the fords of Jordan like people normally would. There's no way. We don't know where the river is. The land is flooded." God said, "Set the priests in there. Put the worshipers in there. Send them. When they step into the future in prayer and intercession, the waters will open." And the priest stepped into the water and the waters parted and the people walked through. That's the way of the Lord. That's the way of the Lord. And the people began to bless the Lord, take the inheritance that was rightfully theirs. This morning, worthy is the Lamb to receive blessing, prophetic declaration, the advance of his people. The advance of his people. Now let's look at Numbers chapter 13. This is what the people said, Numbers 13:27. Then they told him and said, We went to this land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men, the other 10 spies who had gone up with him, said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Now God had given them a word. He expected a prophetic declaration in their mouth, but they came with a negative report. "Worthy is the Lamb to receive blessing. Worthy is the Lamb to hear our faith confessions. Worthy is the Lamb to hear our prophetic inspirations." 12 spies says, "It can't be done. They're too strong for us." But two men said, "We are well able. Let us go up at once. The Lord has given us this land. He will be with us. We will bring down the enemies, and we will sit every man under his vine and fig tree in the blessing of the Lord. It's a land flowing with milk and honey." Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Be careful you don't love the negative. Be careful you don't love the death talk. Because sometimes it's juicier, it's spicier. Be careful you don't love the death talk in your life or in your family or in the house of God. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now he put death before life. For a good reason. Because all of us, when we face impasse, when we face circumstances, when we face the enemy, when we face a flooded Jordan, the first response, it's a flesh response, is death. We can't do it. It's impossible. It'll never work. Too much strain, too much effort. This will never amount to anything. We come against ourselves because that death sentence wants to come out of our mouth. But if we will let that death go by, if we will let that negativity go by, you know what comes behind that? The voice of the Spirit. Sometimes the flesh is so quick to respond, isn't it? The flesh is quicker than the Spirit in some senses until you learn how to recognize it quickly. But the flesh wants to speak in a circumstance. The flesh wants to speak sometimes in a family. The flesh wants to speak in a marriage. The flesh wants to speak in a personal life. And the flesh wants to speak death. But we got to let that death go by and hold our peace until the voice of the Spirit comes forth in us. And then we declare the ways of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now the Lord said in Numbers 14:28, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you." To me, this is one of the most important verses in the Bible. And sometimes we don't give it enough credence. But the Lord said, "Tell them, as they have spoken in my ears, have they spoken in my hearing, so I will do unto them." It's important what we say. The words of our mouth are absolutely critical to the inheritance for our lives, the forwardness for our families, the increase of the kingdom of God. Worthy is the Lamb to receive blessing from his people, because according to our words, so it will be unto us. I have two main points this morning. Number one, the tongue is such an unruly member that God had to cage it in behind teeth and wall it in with cheeks. There's not a person here who doesn't know that's true. Tongue, cage it in behind teeth, wall it in with cheeks. The sins of the tongue are destructive and cruel. And the damage that is done by the tongue in families, in churches, in situations is beyond telling. The Apostle Paul identifies 7 sins of the tongue, 7 deadly sins of the tongue: strife, vainglory, murmuring, contention, gossip, slander, and scorn. Song of Solomon 4 and verse 11 says, "Honey and milk are under your tongue, God said, I want to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. According to what you say, so it will be to you. According to what you say in your family, so it will be. According as the church speaks as one man, so it will be unto that church. Honey and milk are under our tongue. The inheritance, God is saying, the promised land is in the power of your words. But you can't just speak whatever you want, even though they're good words. You have to speak the prophetic declaration of the Lord. You speak what God speaks, and you will walk into the inheritance just like Caleb and Joshua did. Now, James chapter 3 and verse 6 says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Greek Gehenna, the smoldering garbage dump in the valley of Hinnom outside Jerusalem. Pall of smoke hung across that garbage incinerator. It bred a loathsome worm where the fire is not quenched. The worm dies not, the fire is not quenched. It's a picture of hell, Jesus said. The everlasting burning garbage dump. But it's interesting that this hellfire, this tongue set on fire of hell, can be in our members today. James said, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. By the blessing of the upright, a situation, a city, a family, a church is exalted, but it's overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He said, out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. He said, this ought not to be. But I thank God this morning that our tongues can be set on fire of heaven, that there is a fire from heaven that comes upon our lives in the Holy Spirit, and we begin to speak by the utterance of the Holy Spirit, as Acts chapter 2 shows us, 3-4. As they were in the upper room, 120 of the men and women gathered together. They were praying. They were seeking God. They were worshiping. They were ministering to the Lord. They were lifting themselves up in a spiritual dimension. They were poring over the scriptures they had in the Old Testament. And the Bible says, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Fire from heaven. And there was an individual flame that rested upon every person, a tongue of fire. And they received that tongue of fire. They received that fire from heaven. And something began to happen. They became filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, they began to speak, not the words of their natural tongue. They began to speak by the Holy Spirit. They began to prophesy, the Bible says. They began to magnify God. Out of their innermost being flowed language that they never knew was there. Quality of worship and praise and adoration, magnifying the wonderful works of God. And the Bible says they began to speak in tongues. And when you speak in tongues, the scripture says, you are speaking divine secrets. You are speaking the mysteries of God. You are speaking the unfolding plan of God for your life, for your family, for the people of God. These people began to speak by prophetic inspiration. They received the tongues of heaven. Hallelujah. Our tongues can be set on fire of hell, but thank God our tongues can be set on fire of heaven. And we speak the word of the Lord, and it's the Holy Spirit utterance that begins to pour through our members to the glory of God, prophesying, speaking by inspiration, declaring the promises of God. My, that's where we find our liberty, don't we? That's where we find our victory. When we're out of the flesh realm and the Holy Spirit is pouring through our life, how clean we feel, how clean we are, how anointed we are. We have joined in with the Spirit of God in union that He desires for our lives. That's where we really live. Point number two, begin to prophesy. Speak by inspiration under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about the office of a prophet, and I'm not talking about the gift of prophecy. I'm talking about that prophetic inspiration. To prophesy really means to speak by inspiration. To sing holy songs as well is included in the definition of the Old Testament Hebrew word. Begin to prophesy. Begin to speak under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let his words come forth from your heart and from your life. Receive that flame of fire in you. Acts 2:16 to 18. Peter's quoting the prophet Joel said, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, all nations of the world. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. These are the new covenant days. And the expectation of God is that every one of his people would have a prophetic spirit, a prophetic inspiration, that they would speak God's words, that they would flow out with the language of the Holy Spirit, that they would declare the promises of God and believe God and have faith declaration in their mouth. And even though it looks impossible, let's go up at once. We are well able to overcome. Our God will be with us. Let's get our feet into the waters of the impossibility. Let's get some worship leading us. Let's get some prayer leading us. Let's get the worshiping priests into the water, and let's watch what happens, for the waters will open. Prophetic inspiration upon all flesh. Every person in the church, everyone that's truly born again and baptized and belongs to Jesus Christ, a prophetic spirit where language flows out of them that is of the Holy Spirit. The declaration and blessing of God. My, what a wonderful day we live. In Numbers 11:29, it was said, God said, oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that he would put his spirit upon them. Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets. God was longing for the day when every one of his sons and daughters, men servants, maid servants, young and old, it didn't matter, whoever was gathered out of the nations to the presence of God would have a prophetic spirit of inspiration, and their mouth would be open to declare the promises and ways of the Lord. Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, that all the Lord's people would speak by inspiration and declare the blessing of the Lord. Those words were given. There was a day in Numbers chapter 11 where there was a spirit of heaviness upon the people of God. The people of God were in their tents. Moses was their leader. They'd come out of Egypt, but they were in the wilderness. And there was a heavy spirit that came upon them. They were discouraged. It says the people were weeping in their tents, so discouraged by the warfare, by the life, by the circumstances around them. They were despondent, and they were weeping, and the Bible says they were murmuring in their homes. And the Lord said to Moses these words in Numbers 11:16-17. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people. Again, there were 70 patriarchal clans dating back to Jacob. So 70 men of the elders, the leaders of these patriarchal clans, said, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you, Moses. Not your spirit. I'll take of the Holy Spirit that is upon you. I'll take of the anointing that is upon you, Moses. And will put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Verse 25. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them that they prophesied. They prophesied. They spoke by inspiration. They began to speak the blessing and the words of the Lord. New King James says, although they never did so again. Now, if that's the proper translation, and it's one of two main ones, then it's a sad indictment on those men that they never did it again. And perhaps there are some here this morning that at one time you did prophesy. You did have the word of the Lord. When somebody spoke to you, it was the promise of God. It was faith coming out of your mouth. It was the land of milk and honey, the inheritance, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But maybe you've lost that voice. These men prophesied and never did so again. I want to say to you, it's time to start prophesying. It's time to start prophesying. Allow the Holy Spirit to rest upon you and the Word of God to grow in you to such a place that you will not speak death, but you will speak life in the power of your tongue. Other translation says that they prophesied and did not cease. King James has that. They prophesied and did not cease. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other, Medad. Two dads couldn't make it to the meeting for some reason. And the Spirit rested upon them where they were, at home, attending to some duty. Now, they were among those listed. They'd been invited, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to him, are you zealous? Are you jealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. Hallelujah. Two dads didn't make it to the meeting, and the Spirit of God began to rest upon them where they were. 68 men plus Moses prophesying at the tabernacle, declaring the goodness of God. And these two men got so filled with the Holy Spirit, they couldn't contain themselves. They said, we got to get up. We're overflowing. We're so filled. We're overflowing. There's language that wants to pour out of us. And they began to walk up and down the rows of the tents of Israel. And as they did, the heaviness began to break. And the murmuring began to break. And voices that were speaking things they shouldn't were silenced because other tongues were heard in the camp that night, and the atmosphere began to break because these men began to talk of the goodness of the Lord, of his faithfulness, of his power, how he'd brought deliverance, how great he was, that the gods of the heathen are nothing, but the God of heaven is the true God, and we will prosper. They began to prophesy of the inheritance of the land of God. They began to prophesy of all the blessing of God that would begin to unfold. They began to speak of the future, what God had in mind for those people walking up and down the tents in the camp of the Lord, and the people of God began to hear a different sound and a different voice, and it broke the spirit of murmuring. It broke the negativity. It broke the death on the camp that night. Young man ran in. Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua was Moses' assistant. He was a young man in training. He was still in training. He didn't quite understand yet. He said, Moses, if these men are allowed to do this, they will gain influence that should be your influence, and they will gain ministry that should be your ministry and your position. And Moses said, Joshua, you don't understand. Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets and that he would put his Spirit upon them. He said, Joshua, can you imagine if not only these 70 men, can you imagine if this entire congregation of 1.5 to 2 million people would rise up in their tents and in their homes and begin to declare the goodness of the Lord and prophesy the inheritance and speak the promises of God? Can you imagine how the Lord would lead this people in triumph and victory? Worthy is the Lamb to receive blessing from his people. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive divine inspiration from his people. Declaration of promises, declaration of faith, of hope and a future, a good end and a prosperity in the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive blessing from his people. The prophet Malachi said, the Lord listens down into the earth to hear what his sons and daughters are saying. He hears the voice in our own heart. He hears what's spoken in our homes. He hears what's said about the church and the kingdom of God. In Malachi 3, there were a people. It says they prized the Lord. They valued his name. They esteemed the kingdom of God. And they began to speak to one another about the goodness of the Lord. In a decadent time, in a difficult time in the world, there was a remnant that spoke the promises of God. And the Bible says the Lord hearkened and he heard it. And a book of remembrance was written. He said, I'm taking down those names. That family, I'm putting down their name. And they will be mine in the day that I make up my treasure. And they will discern between right and wrong, and the wicked and the righteous. And I will give them my inheritance in the land. Worthy is the Lamb to receive blessing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. By the blessing of the upright, the family is exalted. By the blessing of the upright, the church is exalted and the kingdom. And now let's close out with Isaiah 62, verses 6 to 7. Lord said, I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, who will never hold their peace day nor night. You who are his servants, and by your prayers, put the Lord in remembrance of his promises. Amplified Bible. Put the Lord in remembrance of his promises. Keep not silence, and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her a praise in the earth. Hallelujah. The Lord is looking for holy warriors, worship warriors, and prayer partners. Prophetic people, says that they would all prophesy. They'd all carry a prophetic spirit, and that we would declare the promises of the Lord, that we would put the Lord in remembrance of his promises, and that we would eliminate the death. We would eliminate the deadly sins of the tongue, and our tongue would be set on fire of heaven, and we would maintain a declaration of faith in the promise of God so that he could lead us like he did Caleb and Joshua, a generation into the promised land and into the future with his blessing and joy. How many say amen to the word of God today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you prophesied in the past, but you're not prophesying today. If you're like the children of Israel in their tents that night, complaint and negativity. Voice of weeping is in your heart. Lord today wants to do a new work in you. Receive the tongue of fire from heaven. Begin to speak the word of the Lord. Begin to declare the promises of God. Cut against the flesh. Cut against your own feelings. The enemy comes with lying emotions and lying thoughts, and we have to break those down, and we declare the word of the Lord. And by the Spirit of God, he leads us on in his ways and in his glory, in his victory and righteousness. Let's stand together today. Amen. The altars are open this morning. For any need, if you'd like prayer for any need, prayer team is here. Perhaps today, in light of this word, you want to come with a fresh consecration and surrender. Receive fresh fire from the Lord. Receive a fresh inspiration. Please slip out from where you are. Receive from the Lord this morning. He wants to lead every one of us in triumph. He wants to fill every one of us with his Holy Spirit so that we don't speak by the voice of the flesh, but we speak by the voice of the Spirit. Because to be fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. God wants to lead us in life and peace. Amen. Come receive prayer this morning. For a few minutes as we close out, let's offer the Lord some blessing. Let's offer the Lord some blessing, because worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive blessing. pour out some faith declaration before the Lord. Talk about the greatness of God in your life. Talk about the promises of God that are going to unfold in your family. Take a few moments and pour out your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, get inside of me and put that river of God in me so I can declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living today. Hallelujah.